It is KBOO Portland, your community radio station. Coming up, we've got Flashpoints in 15 minutes. It's Investigative News Radio with Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on the Radio Zine, Doug McVeigh speaks with David Schmader about his new book, Weed, The User's Guide, a 21st Century Handbook for Enjoying Marijuana. And then at 11:30 on the film show, it's Jen Chavez interviewing legendary documentary filmmaker Frederick Wiseman. All coming up, yep, up next it is Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia with headlines, interviews, and commentary on KBOO.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was donated by Eclectic Kitchen at 4936 Northeast Fremont Street, serving comfort food 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tuesday to Sunday. Lunch was provided by Taqueria Los Gorditos at 1212 Southeast Division, offering meat, vegan, and vegetarian breakfast, lunch, and dinner 7 days a week. Dinner was provided by Yen Ha, a Vietnamese restaurant and lounge at 6820 Northeast Sandy Boulevard, 7 days a week.
Cascadia. Today is Thursday, April 28th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, Real Community Radio at 90.7 FM, KBOO.FM on the web. Take a look at that website. It is absolutely, it rocks. It's just something you haven't seen before, something that's easy to use, and something that makes you proud to be a member of KBOO, Real Community Radio. The number to call before we get rolling with Air Cascadia is 877-500-5266. Let me just say that again. We've got time for the weather. We've got time for this because this is another sort of weather. This is another sort of on-the-air environment. 877-500-5266. That's the number to call to support KBOO, to support basically yourself, because this is your community. This is your voice. We have Miguel standing by. He's one of our guests this morning. We are also going to try and speak again with Lisa DeVille with the Dakota Resource Council Board. First, the weather, though, right here in our bioregion. For today, partly sunny with a high around 64 and light winds kicking up in the afternoon. Tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 47, and the same northwest winds carrying us through the night. And for tomorrow, there's a chance of rain before noon, and then tapering off to showers. We've got a high around 59, west-southwest winds, and for tomorrow night, Friday night, it's a 30% chance of showers before midnight. Overcast skies with a low around 46. That's the weather for you right here in your bioregion, in your habitat. Again, standing by to reach Lisa DeVille with the Dakota Resource Council Board, where in the Dakotas right now, The gas mining facilities flare all night long. It sounds like a train coming right through your room. It roars, and it lights up the sky like day. Said it so many times. I myself, though I've spoken with people who live there, the Dakotas, right around these facilities, it's hard to imagine. It really is. This is habitat. This is environment. This is where First Nations live. And I would definitely support the claim that wherever a person lives, that's sacred land. I don't know about you, my place is sacred. I'm sure that yours is also, no matter where you live, no matter how you live. The fact that you're alive on the planet today, 2016, that's sacred. And it's all a part of fostering, nurturing that sacredness, the land. We have Miguel Robles joining us today because Bark is our very own Bark here in Portland, is holding an extraordinary event that if you are not already aware of it, and some of you probably are planning to attend the Urban Farming and Climate Change event. It's today, 6 to 8 p.m. at Bark's office, the new offices, by the way. It's 351 Northeast 18th Avenue in Portland. Portland does have a growing urban farming culture. You see it everywhere. You see it on median strips. You see it on roofs. You see it climbing up walls. It's everywhere. And it's there because of you. That's part of our community. It's part of our habitat. And it's growing, but with concerns about soil pollution, neonicotinoids, and climate change. And here to talk more about that is Miguel Robles. Good morning, Miguel. And thank you so much. Short notice. Miguel, by the way, will be on the KBOO evening news as well as this morning. We want to get as much in today before this event begins at 6. So what are some of the concerns that you will be addressing?
Well, one of the first concerns of what we organized this, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead. Sure. We're listening.
Yes. One of the first concerns that I have to talk about is that recently we have been hearing a lot about glass and all the pollution from the glass factory. And many people is growing food in Portland, and they are very concerned, no, about what kind of food they are eating, they are consuming with their families, and that is using the local. But if we think in the global, also we have a lot of concerns. So when we are talking about urban farming here, starting from the local, and what can be the challenges, and what also can be the benefits. We are talking about the global also, because in the larger scale, agriculture has been affecting also the climate, you know, and one of the main goals of the soil, not all coalitions, is to promote solutions based in soils to mitigate climate change. What we are doing when we are educating about urban farming is that we are bringing also to the conversation all these global concerns, and we are trying to engage people in practicing agriculture that is local, that is based in their backyard, and that can help in the global to mitigate climate change, right?
Yeah, it's something that people around the world have been practicing for a very long time, is growing things on a micro scale. When you talk about, you are the co-founder of Soil Not Oil. Well, there are problems with the soil in this country, in the huge Midwestern so-called breadbasket, big agribusiness regions. Soil is become so depleted that some of the crops grown there also lack the nutritional content that they once had, because the soil has been tapped out. How would one go about addressing that? Is small scale urban farming the answer? How would you address the problem of soil?
Well, one of the things is that 80% of the food that we consume in the world is coming from small farmers, not from big agribusiness, not from industrial agriculture. When you talk about the middle of the country in the U.S., 30% of the land in the U.S. was covered in grass, and now we have only 1% because most of these areas have been using to grow GMO corn, soy, all this stuff that is affecting the environment, is affecting our health because our ingredients for junk food that are killing our people. And also, you was talking, I'm sorry, I lost the third topic that you was talking about, but the first two is that is very important. The third one, well, in a small scale in our houses, when we grow food in our houses, there are different, a lot of different things that happen. One is the psychological. You get connected to soil. You see growing the plants, how they are growing, and you coexist with biodiversity because you are bringing insects. You are feeding yourself with this food, and you are trying to have as much different plants that as you can, you know? I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
And this is in the psychological. In the economical, you are saving a lot of money because you are eating organic food. You don't have to buy it. In the summertime, you can feed your family with this food. You don't need a lot of space. And the third one is the political. How you are combating these corporations that are controlling the food system. There is another aspect that is the ecological. You are not consuming food that is coming from far away. The food chain of each piece of food that you is piece of fruit, a tomato, avocado in the United States, the footprint is 3,000 miles. So if you live in Santa Barbara County in California, when you live there, 95% of the food that is produced in Santa Barbara County, that is in the south of the state, goes to the East Coast. And 95% of the food that they consume coming from Chile, from Mexico, from Guatemala, from Latin America.
We eat things way out of season. We're coming up on our last 30 seconds here. We are in the middle of our membership drive. And as we say, it's not the destination, it's the journey. It's the drive that counts, and that's why it is so much fun to sit in the back seat here in the air room saying, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? I know we're getting there. Miguel, just to wrap things up, do you want to let the listeners know the where and the when of this event that Mark is presenting?
This is tonight. We're going to have this event at, as you say, at Bark offices that are on 8th. South Northeast is 351 Northeast 8th Avenue here in Portland. It's going to start at 6 p.m. and we're going to have Professor Nathan McClintock from an assistant professor of urban studies and planning at Portland State University, Jim Davis from Be Friendly Portland, and myself. And we want to be talking about urban farming and climate change.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We are really glad that you could come, and we are so happy to be able to talk a little bit about this, because what Mark is doing here, what Miguel is talking about, of course, urban farming, that's about building community, and which is exactly the same thing that we're doing here at KBOO Community Radio, and we could only do it with your help, because you are indeed part of this community. To find out a lot more about it, we're going to talk with some friends of ours, mine, yours, volunteers also, and of course members
friends to all.
Of KBOO. Absolutely. I hear Ani's voice, a volunteer coordinator.
Hi,
it's
Chris.
Like her Bird and Lynn Wiley. And of course, volunteer coordinator is just like herding cats. So
it is, in fact, a joyous activity here because we have such a wonderfully creative and impassioned community that comes together to make this radio happen. And it happens because you, our listeners, demand it. You want news that you can chew on, news of substance, analysis, and commentary with attitude and defiance, because, in fact, we are living in a toxic environment that is socially and environmentally. And here we have people coming in to talk about solutions, to talk about the problems from a very frank perspective. And we ask you to participate right now to pay the bills and allow this independence to continue for another 48 years and beyond. 877-500-5266 is the number to call to support the Thursday morning radio zine, home of defiance here on the FM dial. And, you know, you can also contribute online, kboo.fm. However you can connect with us, we ask you connect right now. We do have a couple of phone lines open. Your support has been fantastic this morning, but we need to keep that momentum going to reach our ultimate goals, right? 877-500-5266. We're looking to raise $100 right now for Air Cascadia, and that is simply done with your contribution at 877-500-5266.
Come to the home of citizen journalists. We welcome citizen journalists here. We do not censor or redact here at KBOO, but we do fact check, which is, of course, kind of an anomaly these days. 877-500. Well, in fact, it's a rare species. 877-500-5266. And now on to Flashpoints.
Flashpoints, what you can do if you're tired of holding your nose to vote for the lesser of two evils for president. Also, a new segment and Flashpoints podcast, the Flashpoints Election Protection Section, co-hosted by best-selling author and investigative reporter Greg Palast. I'm Dennis.